Man, are y'all ready to receive this morning? Yeah. Well, get your Bibles out. And let me find where we're starting at this morning. Y'all turn to 2 Timothy. Last week, Corey talked about, and he's been talking about, the supernatural. And what does that look like? What is the supernatural? And that he talked about, it's like raising people from the dead, healing, miraculous things. And we can see that, but he also threw in something last week that was quite interesting. In order for us to start operating in that supernatural, we need to work on our love walk, right? Yeah. And some of you are going, okay, he stepped on toes last week, and now you're stepping on toes. Again, thank you, John. Y'all just excuse me just a minute. Oh, that's good. But what I want to bring up is that he's talking about love. And I want y'all to hear this because I read this week. It was so cool. If I can find it. I didn't have it ready. I apologize. I should have. Okay, here we go. This is Dr. Billy Brim. And it fit with so much for what Corey said last week. It says, you have to do what it takes to get the power. Speaking of the power of God, as born-again, Spirit-filled believers, the power of God is in us by way of the Holy Spirit. We must do what it takes to get that power operating through us. Love is the insulation that the power flows through. Read that line again. Love is the insulation that the power flows through. Without love, the insulation, God can't release his power through us. Isn't that good? Man, I saw that and I thought, that rings so true with what Corey's talking about on our love walk. Because how can we expect to have that power, that supernatural power, if we're mad at somebody? It's like it cancels it out. Or if you're still holding on to unforgiveness for somebody that did you wrong 30 years ago, it's kind of hard to walk that love walk, right? Or all of a sudden you're walking this love walk and you're starting to feel that power, and then devil's over here reminding you of what that person did to you, that they borrowed $100 from you 10 years ago and they never paid you back. And you're going, well, that person. Guess what? You just killed the power. Amen? So we have to learn how to walk in love in order to have that supernatural power. Amen? Now, that has nothing to do with my sermon today. But somebody needed to hear that because the Holy Spirit told me to share it this morning. So that's what I'm doing. See, we have to understand that kind of power, there's a different power. And we're going to talk about the different power today. Okay? But that supernatural power comes from if you're walking that love walk. Okay? And then you can start easing into that supernatural walk with both feet all at one time. You notice I said easing? There's nothing easing about it. Once you start walking in love, once you quit holding grudges, once you say, you know what, I forgive you. I don't have to have you over for chicken on Sunday, but I forgive you. Move on. It's the most freeing, most delivering thing that you will ever do in your lifetime. Well, maybe not ever. Okay, that might be stretching it. Some of you are going, well, that didn't work. What I'm telling y'all is, when you learn how to forgive somebody that's done you wrong, no matter whether you do it to their face or not, you will have this weight lifted off of you. And there's somebody in here that this is for. Because like I said, this had nothing to do with my sermon. But you've got to let go of the unforgiveness. Okay? You're just hurting yourself. How in these last days can we walk in the supernatural power if we're still ticked off at somebody? You know? Man, when you... golly. Y'all know me. I cry sometimes, so just get over it. Just get over it. Because the Holy Spirit just told me something, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, that's so good. The more that you love people, the more that you could get into unforgiveness. Because the more that you love on people, there are going to be people that will try to take advantage of that. And guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You keep moving. You keep moving forward. Man, that is so good. The more that you try to love on somebody, you know, it's like people in the store, when you try to be nice, that's loving on them. When you say, God bless you, and they look at you going, go, hush, just walk by you. That's a moment that I have a choice. I can get mad at them, or I can go, thank you, Lord, for letting me plant that seed. Woo! My Lord. When we learn to start looking at stuff that way, y'all, when we learn to start going, man, thank you for that opportunity, Lord. Thank you for opening that door for me. Thank you for letting me bless somebody. Thank you for letting me say, I love you. And say, tell a stranger that on the street, and they'll go, oh, Jesus. I know, because I do it. I will meet somebody for the first time, and I've practiced, and it's got in my heart. And when I tell you I love you, I mean it. I may not love what you do or like what you do or what they do, but I love them. And you know what? After a while, you will get some people going, I love you too. I don't know them. But you know what? Every time we open that door of saying I love you to somebody, the agape kind of love that people don't necessarily get all the time, there's a tendency for them to be ticked off. You don't know me. You don't. God knows. And if we don't start allowing to use God to use us in that way, then we will not walk in the supernatural, y'all. We will not start seeing those things in our lives. Man, I hope somebody's getting something, because this was for somebody. Jesus. Man, the Holy Spirit is so good. And when we learn to listen, He shows us exactly what we need to see. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Everybody find 2 Timothy. I guess y'all got two sermons in one today. Today, we could title this, Be of Good Courage, or Be Like an Eagle, or just pick one. It's okay. Y'all just title this whatever you want. And you might see how it gets there at the end. I don't know. Oh, goodness. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And as I was really leaning in on what I was supposed to minister about this week, the Holy Spirit took me to this, and I really couldn't figure out why, but it says, how many of you have ever quoted this scripture? And because I've done it. It doesn't mean y'all have, but he gave me a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. Y'all, there is not a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. There's one spirit of fear. There's not classifications of it's either fear or it's not fear when it comes to the world. Amen? Now, we have the fear of God, which is a reverent fear, which we stand in awe of our God. That's that kind of fear. But in this case, it says the spirit of fear. And here it says, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Well, we talked about the supernatural power, right? And then we just talked about love. And then of sound mind, which is self-control. Now, that's an area that we're going to skirt it a little bit with the other scripture this morning. And we're going to talk about that, the strength of God. Now, the strength of God this morning gives us that power, but it's not the supernatural power that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that power that you need in order to go through something that you're going through. See, that's a different power. That's a different strength. It's a different strong. So in Colossians, you can write this down. I'll tell you the ones you need to turn to. If you want to turn to them, that's fine. Just y'all hang on. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now that's kind of a combination there, isn't it? I mean, he strengthens with might according to his power unto all patience and longsuffering. He's going to strengthen us so that we can go through something. Amen? He's not going to necessarily change the situation you're in, but he's going to give us the strength with all of his might in us. Listen to the passion. And we pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Man, don't you want to be energized? Don't you know that when the devil attacks you, you have a choice? You can lay down in the floor and throw a fit like a baby. You can wad up in a little ball. I can't do this anymore. Or you can start saying, God, I need you. I need you right now. And see, this is where you start learning how to get into his power of strength for this. Amen? All right. So the power is so that, as I said, we can endure patiently. Not in our time that it's going to be, oh, fine next week. Or it's going to be, oh, it's going to be fine in a month. And I'm not going to call any names, but I had one of our folks that goes to church here this morning came up and told me he's been dealing with some stuff, and him and his wife, and we've visited with him and prayed for him, and he came up and he had a doctor's report this week, and he said the doctor goes, what happened? What'd you do? Praise God. You see, it wasn't in their time as much as we want it to be in our time. That's not how it works. Amen? It's in God's time. And so as God is preparing us, he's also going to prepare that strength, that inner strength that we need to go through what we're going through. He says he'll always give us a way out, right? He'll not tempt us any more than any other man's been tempted. And he will give us the way out if we so lean into him and allow him to give us that way. Amen? Amen. All right. So Psalms 27:14, you can write this down. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So the Holy Spirit had me break this out a little bit. That word wait on the Lord is not what we necessarily think of wait. You know, you've heard preachers say this before. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you don't do anything. That's true. It doesn't. Right? I mean, like, God, I saw this the other day. I loved it, too. It's like, God's not going to ask you to dig a hole and him help you, and you lean on the shovel while he digs the hole. Amen? Some of y'all may say, oh, that was good. I'm like, because there's people like that. There's people that, okay, God, I'm waiting on you. Go ahead. No. But see, we misinterpret that word, wait. Because in the Hebrew, that word wait means a patient trust in the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. That don't sound the same now, does it? It says, wait on the Lord. But if you exchange that word wait, it says patient trust in the Lord. Patient trust in the Lord. And it goes on to say, be of good courage. Good courage means to be stout, strong, or bold. See, I never, before I got in the ministry, I thought I knew what courage was. It was to be brave, you know. And then as I learn and I study and I study these words, and thanks to my wife for pushing me to do that, because studying was not a big thing for me in school. And it's become a great thing in the Bible, though, believe me. But that word, good courage, to be stout, to be strong and bold, and he shall strengthen, here's that word strengthen, thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That strengthen means to make strong, a stronghold, a refuge. See, it doesn't just mean, when I think of strength, and maybe y'all too, though, it's like I think of how can I lift, 100 pounds. And I have before, and I don't like it. Get help, right? So I'm getting old enough, work smarter, not harder. Right. But see, when I think of strength, I think of how physically strong somebody is. We're not talking about that in the Bible right now. That strength is an inner strength in us. Listen to Ephesians. I skipped, but that's okay, because I guess that's where I'm supposed to be. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his, listen, by his Spirit in the inner man. See, that's where that inner strength is, that inner man. And I wrote down here that increased spiritual strength, not a change in situation, but an internal change. See, how are we taking on something when we take it on? Are we fighting it with our strength? Are we fighting it with our internal strength? Where his Spirit dwells, he dwells. Ask for spiritual blessings, which are the best blessings. Amen. Man, it's always good to be blessed with finances and with things and what God wants. But when you get those spiritual blessings, see, it teaches us. That's what that Holy Spirit blesses us with, knowledge. All we have to do is lean in, and he will definitely give it to you. You got to ask. You got to ask, but the more that you operate in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, he will continually start speaking to you more. But if you're not talking to him, more than likely, he's not going to just be a chatty Cathy with you, because you're not talking to him. You have all day long at work. Man, there's times when there's nobody around and you can pray. You can just talk. Talking is pray. Everybody looks at praying as getting down on your hands and knees. You can pray standing up. You can pray sitting down. You can pray laying down. You can talk to God. That's what praying is. And so many people want to get so religious about praying. Well, you've heard Pastor Corey talk about that. Oh, Father in heaven, and how he's Baptist preachers used to do. Man, why don't you just say, God, the devil just attacked me. I'm struggling here. I need some help. Amen. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. When Jesus went to that pool, and that man had been laying there, and Jesus asked him, said, you want to be healed? Duh. He needed to hear that. Jesus didn't give him a 12-page recitation on being healed. Jesus said, get up. Get up. Get up, get your mat, get out of here. Wow. Why do we make it so that it's like that? Why do we feel like that we've got to go, oh, Father, it's okay to do this. But why do we feel like that if we don't, we're not spiritual? Because I know what my spirit man says. And I know when I'm supposed to raise my hand. And there's times when I'm not supposed to raise my hand. But I listen to my spirit man. That Holy Spirit. You've heard Pastor Corey talk about tickling his hair. When God comes around, it runs down my neck and down my left arm. And man, here lately, It tingles. And I say, oh, thank you, Lord. It's almost like, I got you. I got you, son. It's good. You keep going. You keep going. Because, we all fight. You think just because we're in the ministry that, oh, it's all good. It's all good. It's not necessarily all good at times. But I have learned from our pastor, who you've learned from. Are you practicing what we teach and we preach here at Cowboy Church? How are you going through that? See, because you see us up here preaching, or me up here preaching, because I'm not going to talk about it. I'm talking about me, is that when I go through something, you probably won't ever know it unless I tell you. But you know, as I'm walking it, and I'm smiling, and I'm saying, I'm speaking to it, and God tingles down my neck and my arm, the Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that we can be ticked off about. This is totally not even my sermon. But God, I'm doing what you want me to do, so I'm going with you. I don't know, but I can tell you right now that people get, it's hot, and people are so irritated and so ticked off. You know, you sweat in places you shouldn't sweat. My Lord. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, I don't mind sweating, but golly. You could be mad. And there are people that are mad. Oh, it's hot. Could be hotter. I mean, you know, because that's what hell's going to be like, so y'all better practice now if you're not going to heaven. Did I say? I say that out loud. I'm sorry. But I mean, you know, think about it. If people are complaining about hell, go, do you know Jesus? Or how hot it is outside, do you know Jesus? No, you better. If you're complaining about the heat now, you better. See, what's the positive of everything? Why are you walking? Y'all, listen, our well is not producing enough. We speak to it every day. I haul in 3,000 gallons of water a week for three families. Thank God that we have the means to do that. Amen. I don't complain about hauling water. Yeah, it takes me 2 or 3 hours to do it. But you know what? Thank you, Jesus. We have a trailer. We have a tank that we can do it with. We got a pump that we can pump it into our storage tanks. And as I do this, I speak to that well. Mom and Dad speak to the well. Our kids speak to that well. And you know what? I get up there and check it, you know, while it's pumping in there. And all of a sudden, that pump will kick on, and it'll pump a little out of the ground. But we're so close to that Lake Buchanan. I heard it was dropping a foot every week now. But we speak to that water. See, how are you going through what you're going through? Amen? Are you relying on the strength of the Lord? Are you trying to have the physical strength yourself? Like, excuse me, God, I got this because I'm going to moan. I'm going to complain. I'm going to come whine. I'm going to throw a temper tantrum maybe. And I'm not picking on old timers because, well, I'm getting there. But, you know, you run into them old timers at the store or something. Ah, sure is hot. Ain't nothing but hot. Okay, well, shut up. What good does it do? Right? It's like I told y'all when we started. God's going to rain on this place. He's going to rain on my place. He's raining on church. He's raining on my place. I don't know about yours because I don't know what you're speaking. But we got 10 acres that need water. We got a water well that needs to be filled up. And I know the man that can do it. Amen? That's right. That's my Jesus. My Jesus can do that. You see, but as we walk in love, then we can start operating in that supernatural. And we speak things and we call them as though they're not, as though they are. As they're supposed to be. Walk that love. Then we have the supernatural power. But while we're doing that, are you using the strength of the Lord? Oh, you got me back there. Thank you, God. I was wondering how I was going to do this. Oh, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not. And I saw where there's fear thou not is in the Bible 365 times. Must be important if it says fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Whew! Man, that ought to fire you up. Because when you're going through something, he's telling you right here, stop it. Calm down. Calm down. I'm right here. But you have to ask me, I need help, Lord. So, you don't have to turn there, but read the story, if you get a chance, about Elijah. It's 1 Kings 19, 1 through, I put down 1 through 15. But Elijah got used to praying about miracles, and they happened. I mean, he prayed, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and he prayed to God, and it rained. He had a barbecue off with the ball people, and they couldn't get theirs to cooking, and he asked God, and God lit his fire, his barbecue fire, after he had watered it 4 times. He watered it 3 or 4 times just to prove to him that it really was God and it wasn't a trick. And God lit that fire. He prayed for a lady, with a lady, and he got food for her. He raised the dead. He laid on a child that had died. He laid on that child 3 times, and that child was raised from the dead. Elijah was used to miracles. But then Elijah, being like us folk, some things came against him. And he got down, and he got tired. Anybody ever, you can relate to that. I can't. I can't relate to this part because I've never been that far down. But he got so far down, he prayed because he knew the power of his prayer. He prayed for God that he was ready to die. Because in the past it worked. In the past, when he prayed for rain, it rained. When he prayed for barbecue, it barbecued. Here he prays for rain, or prays for that he's ready to die. I'm ready to go. And what happens? God sends an angel. And he wakes him up and says, arise and eat. You know, angels, kind of like Jesus, they few words. They don't mix words, do they? Arise, because he had prepared a cake and there was something and water to drink. Elijah arose and ate. Went back to sleep. Angel shows up again. Arise and eat. You can't make 40 days if you don't eat and drink. So when that all started, Elijah was praying to die. But God, as we know, has the path for you. And Elijah was in tune with God, except he just physically gave out. So what does God do? He sends an angel, puts his arms around him, loves on him, feeds him, does it twice. And then he tells him where to go. New assignment. And Elijah doesn't argue with him anymore, because Elijah's been built back up by the strength of the Lord. See, he knew the side of the supernatural, the praying for the rain and the fire. But then here's where the strength of the Lord, the inner strength that God sends that angel, and they build him back up. They build him back up. Are you asking God for that kind of strength? Because that's something that we can relate to, you know, because people say, oh, that Bible was written over 2,000 years ago. That stuff doesn't apply now. Baloney. Yeah. Baloney. I guarantee you. But are we using it now to learn from and do it the right way instead of the way they did it? Right? Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. That's in 2 Samuel 22. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. I love this. A very present help in trouble. See, all we have to do is say, God, strengthen me. Strengthen me. He's a very present help in time of trouble. It doesn't say that, well, he might help you later. Like Jason, God get to you later. That's not how God works. See, when we ask for that strength, it's a help in present. That means now. Now, it may not be the way that I think it should be, but God's going to do it his way. But he knows the best way. Amen? Because you're going to get something out of that journey as you go through that. It's all about the journey. Are you journeying with God? Or are you trying to do it yourself? Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So that God is faithful, that means trusting. He honors, listen to this. He honors what he says. He tells us stuff and he honors it. Like he is help in present. He is help in trouble. He honors that because that's what he said. Establish me. Now, that's an interesting word, that establish. Because you think of establish, and establish means he will strengthen me. Right? I allow him to if, are you allowing him to? If I ask God to strengthen me, but then I don't allow him to, what was that? I mean, because it gets back to that, and I don't know, I guess maybe that's why the Holy Spirit had me say it earlier, is it's not about you, it's about him. But then when you ask for strength, he gives you strength, and you go, I'd do it myself. I'll call the bank and get a loan for I'm in trouble. Or that's not what the doctor said. I got people that'll testify that to the otherwise. Are you, if you allow God to, he will change you. Phew. Keeps me from evil. God is my protector. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago, that shield goes all the way around you. That's amazing that God has every side of you, top, bottom, feet, back, everything. Okay, I'm going to start closing. 1 Samuel 30. Y'all can turn there if you want. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Hallelujah. Chapter 30. You know, David here in chapter 30 is going through a tough time. They've been out and they've been fighting and they come back, and we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Anahom the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. You listen to this, y'all. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Man, I picked the Holy Spirit's probably having fun with me right now. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover. Okay, we're stopping right there. David just got back. His wives have been kidnapped. All the guys are wanting to kill him. Would you say he's having a bad day? Say, not going quite like he had planned the day. Right? So all of this comes against him. Did he try to solve the problem himself? No. What did it say right there? It says that David inquired at the Lord. It doesn't say David went and crawled up in the little ball and started crying. It doesn't say that David ran to his best friends and go, what do I do? Or he didn't run and say, hey, I give up if you'll just give our wives and sons. No. The first thing he did He inquired of the Lord. God, I need help. What do I do? No matter what you're going through, no matter what gets thrown in our path, do we go, oh, wait a minute, I've got to ask my friend or I've got to ask my wife or husband, what do I do? Oh, wait, they're not with me. What do I go, God, I need your help right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but I need something from you right now. And He's going to show you what you need. Because after you ask, you need to be quiet and listen, because David did. It doesn't say that there, but how can God answer him if David didn't listen? Because David did what he said. David went on and took care of business. If y'all read the rest of the chapter, it's good. That's one of the cool, there's some cool stuff in here, y'all. It's fun. I love it. So when we learn that when it attacks us, whatever is coming at us, the devil, the stinking devil who says that you're sick or that you're broke or that you're whoever, your neighbor's mad at you and going to shoot your dog. No, no, no. You say, God, I need you right now. And He will be there for you. Okay, last verse. Oh, did I say I was closing? Isaiah 40, verse 29. And this really is close. Isaiah 40. Not 41, Ricky. 40. We're going to start in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. It's all right here. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Everybody say strength. Strength. Everybody say power. It's that inner strength. It's that inner power for our inner man to keep us going. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. See, I looked up that what that meant because it was bothering me. And what that refers to is, everywhere I could find, it refers to that we're all, it talks about if you do it yourself, that's being young. You know, because you've heard of, well, it didn't say this part, but I always heard about people saying, you know, when you're young, you're dumb. But when you're young, but so when we do it our way instead of allowing on God, that's what it's referring to. See, so the young will faint. When you do it yourself, you're going to faint. But, oh, well, there's a but there. But they that wait upon the Lord, that we learn trust on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. And I saw something this week. I learned something, and this is where we're stopping. I saw a guy, and it was just a motivational speaker, but he was talking about the eagle. And it fits so well with this. Did you know that, some of you may know, did you know that there's only one bird that'll attack an eagle? And that's a crow. And what the crow does is that it lands on the eagle behind its neck, and it pecks at that eagle. Now, if something was pecking at me like that, if I'm a bird or whatever, I'm rolling in the ground, I'm being, you know, whatever. The eagle doesn't do anything but one thing. Goes straight up. And it keeps going higher and higher until that crow has trouble breathing. And then the crow falls off. The eagle doesn't struggle and fight with that stinking crow. Amen? Why don't we start acting like that? Why don't we start, when that crow or whatever it is starts pecking you in the back of the head, go, hey, whoa, 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 my Father says He will strengthen me. He will walk and not faint. That's what the Word says, and I throw it at you, you old black crow, you old stinking crow, you old noisy crow. See, because a crow really fits this kind of situation for us, what we go through. It's noisy, it's stinky, and it just annoying as all get out. Right? So why don't we start turning the tail on that stinking crow like an eagle, but we don't have to waste our strength. God gives us that strength. Amen? So why don't y'all get fired up this morning? Why don't you quit griping about it being hot? Why don't we quit being grumpy? Why don't we start saying, you know what? It's raining at my place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? That lake's going to fill up again. Amen? Amen? Or whatever I'm going through, I'm not going through it anymore with a bad attitude. I'm going through it with my God. Because my God says He will strengthen me. He goes to make my way perfect. Don't you want your way perfect? Amen. I'm tired of living the way you see the world lives. And we don't have to. It's a choice. What do you choose today? Amen. Have y'all had a good time this morning? Man. Woo. Thank you, Lord. They only got part of the sermon I thought I was giving. So. But you gave what you got, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Do you know Jesus? We never do a service without giving someone the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's never too soon. Like, right now is a good time, and we're going to give you that opportunity. Do you miss something here that you don't know what you're missing? Well, when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. So if you're missing that, I encourage you right now to give your life to the Lord. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to say a prayer out loud. And out of respect to your neighbors and everyone else, with your head bowed and your eye closed, we're going to say this prayer. We're going to say it out loud. And believers, y'all say it. You know how we do it here at church? Believers, say it with us. And those that are never accepted Jesus, do it right now and say this prayer and mean it out of your heart. So believers, say it with us. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I ask you to come in and save me. I believe Jesus died and He rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Father, I need your strength. And I thank you that you build me up. And today is my God day. In Jesus' name. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just said that prayer for the first time, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're not going to have you do anything funny. I just want you to raise your hand up on the count of three and then put it right back down. We want to get you a Bible. The Word says, don't be ashamed to acknowledge me in front of man, and I'll acknowledge you before my Father. So on the count of three, if that was you that just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get your hand up on the count of three. One, two, three. Anyone? Anyone? Be bold. All right, look at me. All right, y'all, that means we're all going to heaven. But as Pastor Corey says, bring some folks to church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad y'all have had a good time, and I'm going to ask Miss Sharon to come up and close us out today. Amen. Amen.